They're more just things that
I hope I get them all right.
I use when I walk around, you know, because I might have been about home products.
Yeah.
I mean, in regard to the interoperability, how do you work with something like is there any plans to introduce something like Alexa or other systems?
So right now, this has already got Alexa in there. We have a devices button where you just tap a non-UMI device. Amazon Alexa, Philips Hue, Nest thermostat are already in there. And there's a button for any other Z-Wave products. We're trying to expand that line, but obviously our main focus is expanding our own line of accessories.
Yeah.
But to be honest, with our resources, we don't want to, you know, get so heavy into something if a competitor is doing it very well. We'll just start using it with their product.
Yeah, totally.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, is there something you're not doing that you're looking at building, expanding into your range? Any particular,
distributing in Europe. No, you're talking about the products. Honestly, there are lots of ideas.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, we can have a ceiling curtain for people that have a ceiling light. But that's such a small niche market.
I mean, how do you measure the benefit of a product? Like, I still see so many times people will have something like a smart light.
Yeah.
Connected light's great.
Yeah.
Great if you want to do it at home. I'm out at the office, say, and I want to turn my lights on, no problem. But they'll get home and they literally still are pushing a button.
Yes, exactly.
Like a little device.
Exactly.
It has to be connected to something.
Right, which is one argument. People that go through the phones to do all of their smart home.
Precisely.
We say, how is this better?
Yeah.
Now you're draining your phone battery, which could be useful for other things, not turning on your lights. And you have to walk around your house with your own phone. So you have one less hand. It doesn't make any sense.
That's exactly what I mean.
Then they have to swipe, well, where's my home app? And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Well, the one I'm seeing a lot lately is the idea of a smarter, I won't say smart, but smarter product that supposedly can tell who's in the home. So we can tell which person and what their movements are. And I say, well, how? On their phone. I say, what? So they've got to carry their phone around. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, you can do it by height, you know? Like,
you know, I know we're not quite in the, the implant stage of the fully immersive experience. Maybe in the future.
But to answer your question on how do we judge, what's worth it? So, of course, we listen a lot. And this is a Chicago company. Okay, so a lot of the head team has spent decades in the U.S., and some of them have lived in China for a few years as well.
Yeah.
So they're listening and seeing what's possible to manufacture at a good price, but also what are people wanting? So this water sensor is the newest piece that we have here.
That's for plumbing, isn't it?
If anything for floods, you know, what happened. It's not sexy. There's a water sensor there in a box for free, but it's not connected. It just beeps loudly if it's wet. This one, of course, works with the system and all that.
How advanced are the water sensors getting? Like, are they at the stage now where they can turn things off? Or not yet?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we have the, if-then kind of system where if the door is open, then we have a conditional stage. And the temperature is between this, then make this action.
Which
is nice because, again, getting away from carrying your phone, we want to automate as much as possible.
Yeah.
My favorite piece is actually the simplest. It's just a four-button favorites. So it doesn't do anything, right? You need other things to work. But if you have kids, you can say, all right, I wake up in the morning, my wife touches this button, the coffee machine turns on, the lights turn yellow, the blinds go up, her favorite morning playlist starts. While she's brushing her teeth, all of this stuff is happening. By the time she's done, the coffee's ready. That's lovely. When the kids want to watch a film, they push this button, the curtains go down, the lights turn purple, the TV turns on, the volume reduces, the radio, if it's on, goes off. And I said, wow, my grandma, you know, she doesn't need to even use this, even though it's simple. I can just program it for her
and
say, grandma, when you go to church, before you leave the house, touch that button. That's all. So it's so simple, and I don't want my grandma to carry a phone around.
You see, this is a watch, but you see, this is Galaxy Gear. But you can put your analog watch or smartwatch like Apple Watch or Galaxy Gear. But the strap itself is connected to your smartphone, right? So when you get a call from your friend, you're gonna be noticed. And if you press the button and put it on your ear like this, this device is actually going to receive the sound data and convert it into a vibration. So the vibration is going to cross your fingers, and if you put it on your ear, the vibration is going to actually convert again into the sound that you can hear. So you're going to be able to hear what the other person's saying, and also there's a microphone inside, so you can actually talk while listening to the other.
Is it bone conduction?
Actually, it's quite different from bone conduction, because bone conduction directly vibrates the bone over here, right?
Yeah.
To receive that as a sound.
Yeah.
But this doesn't need to be necessarily the bone. So it's a body conductivity. So it's quite different.
That is very different.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible to try without
having
a phone?
Of course, of course. May I have your hand?
You go for it. Anyone sees me,
okay.
Do it again.
Okay. Step over. So, to put it on your ear. Like this. Yep. Go a little bit more. Yeah, here.
Okay.
I guess if you don't want to hear anything.
Bad hearing, so it's possibly why I wanted to try it.
No. Put it over here, it's better. Not inside. Here. Yeah. Better. Yes.
Have some. Yeah, it's not so loud. These are still the prototype.
Yeah.
So now they are writing there.
Can I talk to my thumb?
Actually, there's a microphone here, so your place would be over here.
Yeah.
It's very James Bond, isn't it? Really?
Yeah.
I have quite bad hearing, so I'm not living.
You couldn't hear it?
It could be with muffled, but I have bad hearing, so.
It's great.
So you're going to have a perfect privacy over what you're hearing from the other.
It's a really good idea.
And you don't even need a...
I'm surprised it's taken so long. Like, it's you guys did the first, right?
Yep. We've started 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And we came in here... last year we were in the Samsung station. Yep.
Yeah.
But right now we are invited by the IFA, so...
IFA Meta. Yeah, it's super cool. And what's next? Like, are you going to look at adding more functionalities?
Actually, right now we have a... Well, the main function is receiving the phone calls. And we have basic ones that other smartwatches have, like maybe keeping track of how many steps that you take per day.
So your body metrics.
Yes.
Yeah.
Health monitoring, alarm, like when you get a text message and a phone call. And what's kind of special feature that we put in here is, because this is the main function is calling.
Yeah,
and five LEDs, right?
Yeah.
But you don't know who's gonna call, who's calling. It's not showing your name, mom or dad.
Like, do you remember the flip phones when you had those and you'd be like, oh, I don't want to open it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But according to some of the statistics, the people who you're calling the most are limited, like 3 to 5 people.
Maybe
your mom or your fiance or your friends, best friends. So you can actually, with the application, you can set. So, light one, your mom. Light two, your dad. Something like that. So you can know who's calling at least those 5 people. And also, we give alarm to. You can actually. Okay, you wanna call your mom at least 5 times a month. So it's gonna keep track.
Yeah.
So it's gonna alarm you. Okay, you need to call your mom. So you keep in touch, right?
That's actually a good idea. Yeah.
So that's inside this product already.
Yeah.
But what we are thinking for the next generation is that, okay, so if you're calling with your friend. Well, you may talk like maybe 30 minutes or 40 minutes. Putting your hand like this is gonna kind of hurt, right? It's gonna get tired. So you're gonna put motion sensor in it. So and a speakerphone, so that if you put it on your ear, you're gonna hear it. But if you put it on like this, you can hear from the speakerphone, so that you're not gonna be able to get tired from it.
So what have you got here?
So, we're Bear Conductive, we're here from London, and what we have here is a demonstration board. So if I touch the black paint here, it triggers the sensor. The black paint is our conductive paint.
Wow.
It's called electric paint. Down here is connected to the touch board. The touch board has 12 touch sensors. And since the paint is connected to the sensors, I can trigger the sensors by touching the paint.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, I'm just triggering a sound file. But depending on how I program the touch board, I can have different functions as well. So I can either turn up a light with it, or I can connect it to a different software, then it can start playing videos or something. So our products are aimed for quite a broad spectrum. It's used by children as well as engineers, professionals,
yeah,
designers, in education. So yeah.
What kind of range does it have?
Like
how far away can the paint be from the connectors?
It depends on your application, because the paint has a resistance of 55 ohms per square. So depending on your sensor size, it increases the resistance. So we normally say up to a couple of meters.
Yeah.
So you don't recommend to paint your whole house with it,
yeah,
but you can definitely have some art installations that are as big as these walls.
Yeah. And what, like you mentioned, people, like there's a range of audiences. I mean, who are your main customers at the moment?
We definitely say a lot of artists are using it, a lot of makers, so people who are doing their own prototypes, their own projects.
And where'd the idea come from?
The idea originally started with electric paint.
Yeah.
It was the four founders of Square Conductive. They all went to university together, and it was their final year project. And from there on, just cascaded into the touch board and then the touch board starter kit.
Yeah.
Do you have, there's a shop in Berlin that has like music hacker stuff.
Berlin?
I don't think so.
No. So we're based in London. We don't have a shop there either. We are all online.
Yeah.
And we have resellers.
I don't suppose you'll sell that much through it, but it's a good showroom.
Yeah, definitely.
Which one is it?
Common Ground.
Common Grounds.
Yeah,
they have like all sorts of hacker like music projects.
Yeah, definitely. Sounds good.
They would love this.
That's great.
Yeah. They have the small concerts in there as well. It's not that big.
Does it work outside as well as inside?
So the paint itself is water-based, so it'll wash off away, but we can seal it.
Yeah,
so what we've done here, in that case, it is waterproof, apart from where it's with the connection here. Down there, it's not waterproof. So what you can do is you can have it outside, seal it, and then have inside the whole connections.
Is there any plans to move into something like body paint? Like, I write a lot about wearables, and there's always like someone trying to make either a bit of plastic into it with sensors in it, or you know, really thin fabrics. I can imagine something like a body paint.
What's like, we don't advertise as body paint, no.
No, because we don't say that it's a cosmetic, and we don't have all the certification.
It's non-toxic, but we don't recommend. I get your drift.
But you can use it on textile. It really works on any surfaces.
That'd be really cool.
Lots of people make
that's really cool.
Yeah, there's one guy who did a kind of a concert on his t-shirt just by touching the electrical paint on his shirt.
That's really amazing.
Yeah.
Can you do, is it, hang on, I can test. So if I want to play the piano, I can only play one key at a time.
You can do, because, so first of all, this is just programmed to only play one sound at a time.
Yeah.
But also you can set it to MIDI mode, that way you can have a piano.
MIDI as well, that's really cool. You can actually have like a in those streets.
Yep. Somebody's not there as well.
Yeah, I've mentioned someone who made a proper piano using four of the touchboard, and he did like an entire.
And how much is the starter kit?
So it's 150 euros.
And that's paint.
There is everything, so there's the paint.
It comes with the hardware. Yeah.
It comes with three project ideas. One of them is to replicate this.
Yeah.
This bad
that's
boy.
That's a good idea. So you can kind of teach yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Does it come with the speaker as well?
Yeah.
Gee, that's good.
Speaker, cable, paintbrush.
You get one?
So you have everything to make three projects. Yeah, the first one is the house, and you get more familiar with technology.
Yeah.
And how to turn every object.
That's such a cool idea.
I'm an ex-musician, so.
Yeah. I'm just going to have to play with it for a second.
Okay. All right.
And we're going to launch a Kickstarter later in September.
Oh, right, okay. So it's not actually available yet.
With a new, this is available but for a new product.
So
what's the new product? The new kit will combine the power of the electric paint with a new board that we have developed, and it will be about a light as well.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
So really cool. Such a good idea.
So I'm here with Braggy, and your name is?
My name is Johannes. Hi.
Johannes. So we've seen quite a lot of new smart, intelligent earphones sort of following after AirPods, but AirPods were not the first. But I think, as far as Kate mentioned, you also have Alexa built in. Is that true?
Yes.
Yes. So, yeah, tell us a bit more about the Dash and what you can do with it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So there are a lot of competitors now entering the market. Actually, Braggy was the first one who introduced a new category called hearables. So you basically take the wearables and put it into your ears because you
hear. Very good.
There are always coming more competitors, but I would say, or I'm pretty sure that we're still a lot of steps ahead, because what most of the competitors are doing is a Bluetooth headset. So yeah. They are basically dumb. They do not anything smart. That's always why the word hearable is like confusing. That's also why we call our headphones ear computers. So what it basically is we have 4 GB of offline storage, and they can work completely standalone.
Wow.
So you can leave your smartphone at home,
yeah.
And you can go for a swim, for a cycle, and also for a run. I said swim, so they are up to one meter. They are waterproof, and that's also one of the special things that is very special about the Braggy headphones, about Braggy the Dash. The Dash Pro is now the following version,
okay.
Of the Dash. We know that a first mover product always has its issues. In our case, it was the Bluetooth connectivity. So what we improved now with the Dash Pro is definitely the Bluetooth connectivity. So right now you shouldn't have any issues anymore with the Bluetooth connectivity. We extended the battery lifetime, so we have right now 5 hours of runtime, and on top of that there's still the charging case, so you can have up to 30 hours on the go. What we improved as well is the listening experience, so we included now foam tips as well as the other tips, which are called the fit sleeves, and with them you adjust the size. So we're always working that we find the perfect size for your ear.
Okay. Yeah.
Because we want to make sure that you can use it for any activity you want and that they don't fall out.
And from memory, you've got some biometrics in there as well, which is great because the ear is one of the more accurate places to record body, you know, what's going on.
That's totally true what you said. So with a smartwatch you always have the problem that's falling around, and with us, with our device, we're always sitting into your ear, and with the sleeves we're making sure that it doesn't fall around in your ear. So that's why we can measure it quite accurate, and we are currently measuring the heart rate. On top of that, we are measuring your movement of the head, and with your movement of the head we can detect how many steps you made, and when you are swimming we can detect how many laps you made, and there are a lot of more functionality that you can do by tracking.
Whilst the device is not connected to a smartphone, so offline, it's tracking your steps and etc., and it's also, you can play music and things, but I guess when it's online then comes in the Alexa integration and you can do other things as well.
Yeah. Just one thing that I also want to mention on the activity side, so what we built in is a kind of a neural network, so as soon as you start running or cycling or swimming, we will detect according to the activity after half a second up to 2 or 3 seconds, we will detect what are you doing. So if you start running, we will detect that you start running, and if you stop because of whatever, we will stop your activity or pause your activity. And as soon as you come online, we always have integrated Siri and Google Now from the very beginning, and also that's a difference, so we are independent from which device you're using.
Okay, so it could be even Bixby if you wanted to.
So, and you can use it also with a PC where you don't have an assistant right now, but that's why we started now with the Alexa. So we are very proud that we are now started to integrate Alexa, because we are the first device kind of where you can be on the go and use Alexa. So what we did is you can connect the device to your app, and the app is basically enabling all the features.
And this is still with Bluetooth, though.
Yeah. Yeah. So you, at the moment, of course, on the long term, we want to get rid of the smartphone. So we want to connect directly to a network, and you can leave your smartphone at home, because smartphones is not a natural gesture, not a natural interface. If you look around and see people with their smartphones running through the city.
Yeah, that's true.
So what we want to do is enable the people be having a discrete assistant into the ear. And that's also one of the reasons why we integrated Alexa.
So you just need to join forces with one of the gesture recognition startups.
Bixi was a French company we saw that had this little thing you could wave and it would recognize gestures. That would be quite cool.
Also, that's something that we are already looking into. So what we could imagine is that instead of touching your ear, which also is already a big step ahead because it's still quite natural, but what a next step would be, for example, that we recognize your gesture if you're doing something in front of your head. So something like next track, play, pause.
And one last question, just because I'm into wireless headphones, but I'm not really into sport, but a lot of the wireless headphones are really aimed at people who do sports. I mean, do you think there's enough, obviously you're going to say yes, but do you think there's enough interest for someone like me who's not really interested in the sports aspect but just wants some good quality wireless headphones as well?
So, we came up with a headphone because we know that there are people who don't have the budget that you pay, for example, on the Dash Pro. That's why we came up with a headphone. And the headphone has still a lot of good reasons. It's a lot of pros compared to all the other products.
Non-pro.
We have the longest battery lifetime. We have a full remote control instead of all the other products. So you can. We have still the audio transparency features, so where you can enable the pass-through of your surroundings. So imagine you are cycling, but you cannot hear your surroundings.
Yeah.
That's always bad. Also, that we are not the only one in this area who has this feature.
Jabra, we interviewed
but
as well.
We were the first movers, and we want to be still the first movers by enabling people more with this feature. Yeah. So what we already do is we are raising your voices. So lowering the surroundings, but raising the voices. So
you've obviously got a captive audience. I mean, your Kickstarter campaigns have been pretty successful. I think probably some of the most in Europe.
I haven't looked up what the latest projects were, but I think we're...
Because I wrote about you last week.
Ah, okay, so probably we are still the most successful Kickstarter campaign in Europe.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. That seems like you could just say that anyway. No one will check. So. Excellent. Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
So, do you know the case of New Berlin Airport?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Great. This is, you know, it's 7 years delayed, and it's 6 times over budget, and has 65,000 building errors now. You know that. So, we understand the problem, and what's the main problem? Mostly design is based on intuition. There is lack of verification on any part, on any type of design. There are many, many changes happening, and no one's checking them finally. Yes, and there are changes happening on the construction side and everywhere because there were errors at the very beginning. So having that, and there are generally the construction industry is like a Walkman innovative phase. It's very, very conservative.
Yeah.
So we came up with idea to create a platform for smarter solution that uses artificial intelligence, machine learning to solve the most pending problems of the construction industry. And one of the tools that we are having on the platform is Code Checker that verifies if the design is actually fulfilling the building codes. Which actually is going to, I mean, you give a solution within a click, first of all. And second of all, there will be no delays later because the design is verified regarding the construction load, the building code. That's the idea. And there are many other tools on the platform that we are creating.
Let's just pick one as an example, one of the codes. How do you actually do that?
There's the German building code. There's like about 1,000.
Yeah, so how do you actually verify it?
Oh, so imagine that. Now buildings, so when you have the design of the building, that's a model. Yeah? That's a model. Often there's a 3D model.
Okay, so you're basing it on the model, not on the final build.
No, final build. We have to verify the design first to make sure that it's correct.
Okay.
What if the final product doesn't match the model?
Well, we'll never match
the
model.
I suspect might have happened.
No, it will never match. I mean, in the industry you have like design drawings, and then you have after construction drawings. So they could be two different set of drawings,
yeah, right.
Because there are so many errors.
And these are digital drawings, I take it.
Once
they're not. These are digital drawings. They're not pieces of paper, I hope.
No, they are digital drawings. So they are 3D models basically, and they have. So this is like it is called building information modeling. So every element of the building has its description. So this is a stair, this is our door, this is whatever. So then you can verify, like, imagine that. So there is a law saying about evacuation route, so from every room then there. So for instance, in this room you have probably like 8 or 6 evacuation doors, and they are calculated using the amount of the people that would be in this space. I am quite sure that we are out of that today, but normally if you calculate that, so imagine that the tool what is checking is verifying the size of the building and checking if the total amount of the width of the doors is actually good enough for this amount of people.
Cool.
And there are many other tools,
sure,
but
sure.
One is easy to understand, and there are many problems in the industry.
And are you live at the moment? Like, are you working currently with the construction industry and architects and so on?
Well, me, myself, I'm an architect. I have been working 7 years on large-scale construction.
So you know all the pain points then?
Yeah. I mean, I've been doing some project, and then I go to the construction side, and there's like, oh, you forgot about that. Because there is like, there is architect, engineer, and this person involved in design and the construction, and they rather improve, they are looking for their profits. They are not thinking about the entire project. So that's also, so whenever there are like many changes during the design process, and they are not always coordinated properly. So the coordination is, there are so many inputs that there's no time to verify.
And you mentioned like the building codes, do they change often? So you've got to be able to adapt to that as well constantly.
Are the building codes codified, or do you have to code them into your application each time?
What do you mean they're codified?
Like each time it changes, is it defined in a way that you can easily put into application, or do you have to get a programmer to...
Oh, they are codified like data, like an Excel spreadsheet.
Okay.
They are also like, it depends on the country, of course, but here in Germany, it works okay. And in well-developed countries, it works okay.
So here with Jolocom?
Jolocom.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Will you explain what it is, and then I'll describe what it is and ask some questions about that in a minute. So.
Okay, cool. Alright, so at Jolocom, our vision is to give back the power of data ownership to everyone. Right? So giving back the power of data ownership to every individual. And what we have as a product is we do have right now a smart wallet, which is an app where you can enter your data. And the data is stored in a private store. So, for example, if you have a server running or something like this, you connect it, and you can reuse the data, basically, or navigate the digital world like this. And the cool thing about it is that, for example, let's say you store like your phone information or your ID card information, right, in the wallet. So what you can do is you can go to a bank and, for example, and get this data verified, right? So they run through all the checks.
So this isn't a wallet for blockchain. It's using the blockchain as a wallet.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
Exactly.
Actually, this was I was actually talking about this idea with some people yesterday, and saying that this is a good idea and that no one had seen quite yet. But is this it? No.
No. This is like an example for a Freedom Box. It's like an old server that you can.
Right, I was wondering.
We just brought it to visualize to people that you can kind of have this own device.
So the banks are on board with this? You said you can take something to the bank?
It was like an example for a party.
But here in Germany, you could do that now?
So we are now weeks before a close alpha, so we are not actually on the market yet where people can actually use this.
Yeah, okay.
But of course, we are looking for a party. partners where we can tap into their infrastructure. And it's actually a benefit for everyone, because if you verify, it's kind of a very cost-intense process, right? Because you do have to have people in place that check you, or when you call, you have to have like this interaction. And why do I have to do it every time that I use the service? A different one, right? Why can we not reuse this when it was done already?
What sort of identity were you able to put in?
So whatever you like. I mean, if you want to have your ID card in, or like legal documents, or like driver's license, for
example. We're also talking about things like healthcare records, educational records, which Sony is now looking into.
Are you going to include things like data from, say, wearable tech?
Yeah, so we are totally open to whatever data is stored there, right? But it has to make sense for the user, right? So I guess that's how we approach this.
And it's local to the device?
We don't store data on the device. You would store it, like, for example, in your, like, we call it your own data store. But what this is maybe you have an own server running at home, so you can store it there. Or, like, in this Freedom Box, which is, like, an example that you kind of use. This is, like, a physical box. And, like, this runs. And you know that you store it here and nobody else has actually access to it, right? Or maybe you host it in the cloud. So we don't really... Like, we would like people to kind of do it their preferred way. Yeah.
But if you lose your phone, does it matter?
It doesn't matter, because you log in with a seed phrase in our application. Okay. Exactly.
Or if you have one of these at home and it gets stolen, I'm assuming there's a backup, a digital backup?
Well, no, that's
yeah,
up to you.
Like, that depends on the...
But you would hope it, but you know, this stuff happens to people a lot.
We were actually talking about this yesterday, that now the new kind of lo-fi hack is called the sock drawer hack.
But that's like
blockchain wallets in the sock drawer.
Exactly.
Okay. And is there a limit to how much you can store? I mean, I would think the average person could produce a lot of data over a lifetime.
I mean, I guess it depends how much you want to pay, because it also like your own storage is kind of connected to costs, right? So but we are open for scaling, whatever that means, right? It just has to make sense for the user.
And so, to your knowledge, it can't be hacked.
That's a very, very difficult question to answer.
I've been writing about cybersecurity today.
I think you can put a microphone in front of someone and say, will you ever be hacked? That's a bad idea.
Yeah, but I guess
it doesn't matter if it is, because you have the immutable.
You've got your digital weapon.
And maybe another cool thing that we have is we have something that is called Smart Login. And it's basically an easy way to use services, digital services, where you can log in with your personal data. And you can actually give the service that you use access. Like they have to visualize you to you which data they will use. Right? So for example, when you use a Facebook login, it's very fast. But the compromise that you do is to actually provide them with the data, right? So they know what kind of service you use, right? And in our case, the data is yours. It's stored on your device. And you navigate the digital world much easier.